Hello, beloved people, and welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm your host, Solomon. So today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic to a life of a believer. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, someone might be wondering, now that I'm a born-again Christian, now that I know God, now that I'm in this life of salvation, what is expected of me? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to carry myself? How am I supposed to conduct myself? What is my behavior as a newborn Christian? What am I supposed to do? This is a question that comes to any other Christian, the question of how to live right or how to live righteous according to the law of God. Now, initially, when you read the Old Testament, when you read about the children of Israel, these are the first people that God took, that God owned and called his own. These are the first children of God. And we see God preparing on how to deliver them and even delivering them from the land of Egypt. When they reached Mount Sinai, we see Moses going up to Mount Sinai and coming back with the Ten Commandments and many other instructions that God wanted them to follow so that they remain consecrated, so that they remain a people chosen for him, so that they remain set apart from other nations, so that they remain a peculiar people. That is the life of a believer. Once you're born again, it is God's desire to set you apart, to make you a royal priesthood, to make you a consecrated people, to separate you, to set you apart from any other nation in the world, to make you stand out in your behavior, to make you upright person. Now we see God introducing this law, the Ten Commandments. Do this, don't do this, don't kill, don't commit adultery, and many other laws. And the Israelites, we see them accepting the laws that God has brought forth to them via Moses, right? Now we see, even after the law was set out to them, even after the law was read out to them, even after them agreeing, now it was upon them, it was upon their power and might, it was upon them themselves. How much have you grasped of the law so that you won't be found faulty? So that every other time, how to act out, how to react, how to interact with your neighbor, you don't end up sinning, you don't end up unconsecrating yourself, okay? So we see majority of children of Israel fail. The law used to find most of them at fault. Perhaps someone has upheld one part of the law, they are obedient to their parent, but this other side committing adultery. So the law used to find them at fault every other time. And we see, even after them crossing the promised land, not the original people crossed to the promised land. Majority of the people who crossed to the promised land were the descendants. Most of the Israelites perished because now the law used to find them at fault every other time. Now God looked at all this scenario. Remember, this is all his plan to consecrate man, to make man a better person, to make man his people. He was trying to make the children of Israel to be that one nation that he has that intimate relationship with. The same way right now in our modern day, once you're born again, you are his child, you are his person. He's trying to reconnect back to you. He will teach you his ways to make you a consecrated person, to set you apart from the world. That was what was required of a Christian then. That was what was required of a newborn then. That was what was required of a chosen generation. Now, when it comes to the New Testament, God realized that he wanted to make a new covenant with his people. A covenant that will make it easy for his people, you know, to walk by him, to walk this journey of salvation. Okay? We see in Hebrews, initially I told you the law failed. When you read in Hebrews 8, verse 7 to 11, there was an urgency to create a new covenant. Why? Because the previous covenant used to find men at fault. Every other time, people were being found at fault according to the commandment, because it was up to their own power. Okay, it was up to how much they remember, it was up to how much they have grasped about the law. When you read Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7, the Bible says, for if that first covenant had been without defect, this is just an affirmation that the first covenant was having defects, there would have been no room for another one or an attempt to institute another one. However, he finds fault with them, showing it inadequacy when he says, behold, days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify a new covenant or agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The house of Israel and the house of Judah represent us, the modern day Christian. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers, or the days when I grasped them by the hand to help and relieve them, to lead them out from the land of Egypt, for they did not abide in my agreement with them, and so I withdrew my favor and disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their mind, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. and I will never more be necessary for each one to teach his neighbor and his fellow citizen, or each one his brother, saying, know, perceive, have knowledge of, and get acquainted by experience with the Lord. All we know, from the smallest to the greatest of them. This is just the Bible explaining how God realized the first covenant was faulty. Leaving salvation unto us to work it by our might and power was not working for us. We were still sinning. We are still being found at fault. So he decided to bring this new covenant. Now that it won't be about you, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do this and this. It is now about him. It is now about God. It's now about how he will. He's saying, I will engrave my laws into their mind, and I will cause them to follow them. It's not about you anymore. It's not about you upholding the law. It's about Christ in you. It's about his spirit in you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, the Bible says that a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall heed my ordinances and do them. This is the first place now we see God introducing the spirit. I will put my spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. The spirit will cause you to walk in his law, in his statutes. And you shall heed my ordinance and do them. In the New Testament dispensation, we see God is telling us, you know what? It's okay. I don't want to find you at fault. It is never in God to find men at fault. He doesn't want to find you at fault. He doesn't want to judge you on how much you have grasp of him. No. This life of salvation, he is putting his spirit in you. He's giving you a new heart, putting his spirit in you, so that now it's not about you upholding the law. It's about you letting him work in you. And how is he going to do that? By putting his spirit in you. Now, this spirit that God is going to put in you, what is this spirit? What is this spirit that will cause me to do the things of God? What is this spirit that will help me uphold the law of God? Now, when you read John 16 verse 7, Jesus is telling his disciples, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, rightness of the heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. When you go down to verse 12, the Bible says that I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or take them upon you or grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own messages on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give message that have been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, because he will take off, receive, and draw upon what is mine, and he will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I mean when I say he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine, and he will reveal and declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples how much things that he wish he could share with them. He wish he could teach them how to conduct themselves, how to behave as Christians. There's so many that Jesus could have taught, but he realized as much as he will teach all these things, they might not be able to grasp them. They might not be able to put it to heart. They might not be able to work it out by their own means and by how much they have remembered. That's why he's saying it is prudent, it is expedient that he goes away, so that the Spirit of Truth comes and bear witnesses of what he has taught. And the Spirit will teach them everything that they are supposed to do. It will guide them, it will counsel them, it will comfort them, it will strengthen them, it will be their advisor, their intercessor. Now, this is the Spirit that Jesus is talking about, is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit that I'm trying to bring unto understanding here. When you go to John 14 verse 16, Bible says, start from 15, if you really love me, this is Jesus speaking, you will keep and obey my command. That's what Jesus is saying. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my command. But he's not saying this to leave people in a dilemma. Now people start asking, you know, our forefathers failed. The law was still existing. Even as until this time of Jesus, the law was still existing, but people are still failing. People are still sinning, despite even them knowing the law. It was so hard for them to keep the law. Now Jesus is saying this, that if you really love him, you will keep his command. And not only that, going down and emphasizing that in verse 16, that I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, understand by, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he will live with you constantly and will be in you. When you go to verse 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in place to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now you understand why salvation is not out of your own will and power. It's about the Spirit of God operating in you. It's about the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says that not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. That's how we are able to cultivate this work of salvation. By his Spirit, he guides us. The Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, as Jesus refers to it, will guide you into all things. It will teach you, because now it's speaking on behalf of Jesus. It's speaking on behalf of Jesus in you. Now it's like in the modern day, we have Jesus in us. It's not that we have missed his ministration on earth. He's still minister in us. Now individually, every one of us has Jesus in them, because the Spirit represent him. And every one of us need to have the Spirit to teach us all things that we need to know, and to remind us all things that we need to know of God and what you are supposed to do of God. Now it's not about us. Now it's not about don't do. It's not about how much you have grasped about the law. It's about how much you've let the Holy Spirit lead you. It's about you letting go of your knowledge and allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in you, to bear witness of Christ, to teach you of things of God. It's about the Spirit taking charge. In Ezekiel, we've seen the Bible, God promising us that he will give us a new heart, a new spirit, the Spirit that will cause us to remember his statutes. Now that as a Christian, how am I supposed to conduct myself? It's about you letting the Spirit work in you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth work in you. It will remind you, even when you go to church after the service, what will make you remember what the pastor has taught is the Holy Spirit. It will remind you of the oracles of God. When you read in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify cravings and desires of the flesh. The cravings and desires of the flesh are sin, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, for these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you are desired to do. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. The last verse, but if you are guided or led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. You are not subject to the law, meaning it is not up to you. You are not condemned by the law. The Holy Spirit in you is responsible for you. The Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He works in us both to will and to do. Now, as a newborn Christian, it is your responsibility now just to let go. Let go and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, both to will and to do. The thoughts that you will be having when you allow the Spirit to work in you are the thoughts of righteousness. This is a way of achieving righteousness through faith. The more you let the Spirit lead you, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, the more you grow dead to the flesh. And by growing dead to the flesh, that is being dead to sin. I know perhaps you've ever heard when Paul is teaching, I'm dead, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That is how much it is important as a Christian to allow the Spirit of God to work in you, That's how much important it is for you to have the Holy Spirit in you. Now that salvation won't be difficult to you anymore. Now that you won't be working under the law anymore. Now that you won't be struggling to master what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. It's just by you yielding to the Spirit, by you allowing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Bible says the Spirit of truth, the counselor, the comforter. He will teach you all things that you need to know of God. He will teach you everything that you need to know of God. He will counsel you. He will remind you of everything that you need to know of God. You are no longer subject to the law. It is not by your own will and power, unlike before. It is by this Spirit. This Spirit help us cultivate our salvation. It help us grow into righteousness by faith. Talk about righteousness imputed through faith. When you read Romans 8 verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment, guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and the law of death. When you walk in Spirit, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for you. The Spirit of God will guide you of everything you're supposed to do as a believer, of everything you will required to know. There is no more condemnation when you live in the Spirit, when you live by the Spirit, when you live by the Holy Spirit. And it's so simple. The Holy Spirit was released to us, all of us. No one is special. Everyone can receive the Holy Spirit. It is that free gift that God gave freely to every man when he's saying in his ascension in John that it is good that I go, so that the Helper may come. That as much as I've done my ministration, as much as you now know what is supposed of you, as much as I have given you my oracle, it is not up to you anymore. Yes, I've taught you how to believe. I've taught you how to trust in God. I've taught you how to rely only on God. But I know some instances might be difficult. I know some situation you might face might be difficult, that you might even forget to trust in God. Jesus is saying it's okay. You won't work it by yourself. I will give you a comforter. I will give you a strengthener, a standby in time of need, an advocate. That when you reach this point in life where you are so down, this point in life you are in a dilemma, situation that you don't know what to do as a Christian, you don't know how well to act, you don't know which one is right or which one is wrong, the Holy Spirit is there, because he speaks of God, he speaks of the oracle of God, he transits information and guidance from God. He's not speaking on his own accord, he's speaking on behalf of Jesus in you. He represents Jesus in you, so that as a Christian you won't have to struggle anymore. When you feel your faith is going down, remember the Spirit is in you. Let it work, let it comfort you when you're grieving, when your heart is so sobbed in sorrow. The Holy Spirit is there. It's comforting you, patting you, encouraging you, giving you guidance, giving you direction. Don't go this way, my son. Go this way. Don't do this. It's not right. Do this way. It convicts you of the truth, because the Spirit of truth, every conviction you'll get from the Holy Spirit is the truth. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Everything you'll be convicted by the Spirit is the truth. I want to pray for you, and even as you go and pray over the same, that may God grant you this Spirit, this Holy Spirit. We see the disciples, when they were receiving the Spirit, they were in a room praying. That's when the Holy Spirit came unto them. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for my listener. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've granted us, God. It's such an awesome gift. God, it is my prayer and that of my listener, that may you fill them with the Holy Spirit, so that they are able to work salvation in truth and in understanding, so that they are able to be reminded of everything that it is of you, so that their salvation will not be filled with dilemmas. Their salvation won't be filled with doubt. That every time they feel low, may the Spirit comfort them. Every time they feel alone, may the Spirit stand by them. Every time their strength is depleted, may the Spirit strengthen them. Every time they will feel overwhelmed, may the Counselor, the Spirit, guide them. Thank you, God, because we know you said in your word that you will send us the Spirit to be our guide, our comforter, God. Let it be so unto their heart. Fill them with that Spirit of truth. Let your oracles be written in their heart and mind, that they are no longer subject to the law, but they are guided by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope by now you understand. Now we no longer be like the Pharisees and the scribes, who Jesus described that they were so much knowledgeable about the law of Moses. They were so much knowledgeable about the law, but Jesus ended up describing them as hypocrites. You know so much, but they were not even able to uphold uphold it. The teachers of the law, they were not even able to uphold it. They failed as much as they knew so much about the law. They failed to get the revelation in Zechariah. It is not by might. It is not by power. It's only by His Spirit we are able to work our salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. My next episode, I will be talking about my experience with the Spirit and the gifts. You know, the Spirit does not just come alone. It comes with a lot of gifts. We'll be exploring more about the gifts and my experience with the Spirit. Thank you.